Well, I'm not sure about you, but yesterday football was on our television. It's back on. It's back into the fall season, and so that got me thinking back to back in high school. I played football, and I grew up in Arizona. And if you know anything about Arizona, it is hot there. And if you know anything about football, you wear a lot of pads, you wear a lot of things. And so this is a description of how hot it is in Phoenix, right? So this is the 10-day forecast this week. It's going to be 109, 109, 107, 107, 107, 105, 103, 102. That's what we practiced in. We'd get out of school at maybe 1:30. It wasn't uncommon for us to practice until 8 o'clock. And so what happens when you are practicing in that kind of heat with a helmet on, with shoulder pads, the whole outfit, is you sweat a lot and you get really, really thirsty. So they would set up a watering station. It was basically a hose with a bunch of different spigots that you could all drink out of. And we are dying to get over to that water after they give us a water break. We would get over there as fast as we could because we're just drenched in sweat. You guys know what that's like. You guys know in South Texas, it's hot here, right? So when you get sweaty, when you get so worked up and you've been working outside, it's hot. You are thirsty. You are ready to get that water. Well, you know what that's like. And what we are called to be is people that thirst after God even more so. Our desire is for Him and for Him to fulfill us. In John chapter 7, verses 37 and 38, Jesus said this: "If anyone is thirsty, let him come to me and drink. He who believes in me, as the scripture said, from his innermost being will flow rivers of living water." God has promised to meet our thirst. When we come to him, he has promised to fulfill our thirst and to quench it. My throat thirsts for water, my stomach for food, but my soul thirsts for the Lord. And that's what we are called to be. To be people who are hungry for God, who thirst for his presence, who want him to be with us and to be intimate with him. And so this is going to be the topic of our sermon series for the next several weeks. It's going to be living with Jesus. How do we live with Jesus, right? We've just gone through Matthew, and Matthew gave us a great picture of who Jesus is and what he did for us on the cross and then dying again. And I'm sorry, rising again from the dead. And now he's living with all authority in heaven and on earth. But now what happens to us? Now we get to live with the risen Christ. And so what we're going to talk about is, how do we do that? How do we get to live with him? So after Matthew, we find something very important happens. It's called Pentecost. And Pentecost is when the Holy Spirit comes. The next verse after talking about us being thirsty and coming to Jesus is verse 39 in John, and it says, "But this he spoke of the Spirit, whom those who believed in him were to receive. For the Spirit was not yet given, because Jesus was not yet glorified. After Jesus died and rose again from the dead and was glorified, then the Holy Spirit could come. And then the outflow, that flowing of eternal waters, could come and indwell in us. And it opened up a brand new reality of the new covenant, a brand new life of living with God and being impacted by him." And so what happens then as the Spirit comes at Pentecost upon God's people? We see miracles happen. We see the gospel spread. We see blessing upon blessing. We see the Spirit doing all the things that God had called Israel to do, but they were incapable of doing it because we are fallen and broken. But now with the Spirit, he came and he moved and he worked and he brought amazing blessing. So much so that Athanasius, he was an early church father, in his book on the Incarnation, he was talking about a defense of why the Romans should listen to Christianity. And he's like, look, these pagan folks are now no longer afraid of death. They're no longer afraid to be martyred in the Colosseum. They're no longer living these foolish lives and living it sinfully and with destruction. They bring life and they bring blessing. Look at what's happening. Why is that happening to them? And he says this: it's because Jesus is alive and he's active in their life. That's exactly why. And that's continued on until this day. Jesus is alive with us. He's with us now. He is here and he indwells in us. And so here you are. You came on a Sunday, and it's been a crazy year. There's all sorts of things happening. You have your own things going on in your life. But what is God's vision for you? What is God's vision for you? What does he want out of your life? He has given you salvation. He's given you the Holy Spirit. What does he want for you? Now, he's got unique callings for all of us. All of us have our own unique things that God wants us to do. But there are two things that all of us share. His vision for all of us shares these two things. One's something that he gives and one's something that he receives from us. The first thing is he gives us love. God wants all of us. The vision for us is for us to receive his love for him. And then the second thing is for us to give God glory. He gives us love and he receives from us glory. Now, as we talk about the abiding in Christ and how do we live with Jesus and all of that, the central text is going to be John chapter 15, verses 1 through 11. So if you have your Bibles, you want to go there now. We're going to put it up on the screen so you can see it as well. This, as many of you know, is the last night of Jesus' life. He's about to be betrayed. He's about to go to the cross. And this is what he's going to say. This is what he's going to talk to them about. This is what's coming next. So after I'm gone, this is what you need to pay attention to, disciples. And this applies to us as well because we share the same situation. So verse 1. I am the true vine and my Father is the vine dresser. Every branch in me that does not bear fruit, he takes away. And every branch that bears fruit, he prunes it so that it may bear more fruit. You are already clean because of the word which I have spoken to you. Abide in me and I in you, as the branch cannot bear fruit of itself unless it abides in the vine, so neither can you unless you abide in me. I am the vine, you are the branches. He who abides in me and I in him, he bears much fruit, for apart from me, you can do nothing. If anyone does not abide in me, he is thrown away as a branch and dries up, and they gather them and cast them into the fire, and they are burned. If you abide in me, and my words abide in you, ask whatever you wish, and it will be done for you. My Father is glorified by this, that you bear much fruit, and so prove to be my disciples. Just as the Father has loved me, I have also loved you. Abide in my love. If you keep my commandments, you will abide in my love, just as I have kept my Father's commandments and abide in his love. These things I have spoken to you so that my joy may be in you and that your joy may be made full. Now, where we're going with all of this is to set up what is abiding in Christ. That's what we're going to start out with today. But we're going to move on to, all right, once we have what it is, how do we do that? That's what this series is going to be about. But let's start out with some ground level things. What are some ground level things that this passage lays out? Let's start with this question. How does God get glory from us? We all know that. We all know we're supposed to do that. We're Christians. We've been in church for a while. Some of you maybe are new, but if you've been here a while, you know you're supposed to give God glory. So how do you do that? Well, the text tells us exactly how that happens in verse 8. It says this, my Father is glorified by this, that you bear much fruit, and so prove to be my disciples. There it is. He spells it out really, really clearly. That is the next passage. And I may have messed up on the PowerPoint. But verse 8 says this. My Father is glorified in this, that you bear much fruit. That's what it is. That's how you give God glory. Now, how do you bear fruit? This is where verse 5 comes in. So verse 5 says this. I am the vine, you are the branches. He who abides in me and I in him, he bears much fruit. There it is. For apart from me, you can do nothing. So abiding in God allows the fruit to be born. And by us bearing fruit, God gets glory. Now, how do we receive his love? Verse 9. Just as the Father has loved me, I have also loved you. Abide in my love. Here's what that means. What that means is for you to do the vision that God has for you that is shared for everybody is you abide in him, thereby receiving his love and giving God glory. So if we are abiding in Christ, that is everything that God wants from us. Because then we give God glory and we receive God's love. So that brings us to a bit of an issue, though. What does that actually mean? What does it mean to abide in Christ, right? So I know how to abide in a house, right? That's what abide means. It means to live or to remain or to be in a place or in a situation or in a building or in a house, right? You're living there. You're staying there. But how do you do that with the God-man who is in heaven at the right hand of the Father? What on earth does that mean? So here's the answer. Abiding in Christ means we are united with him. And we remain united in an intimate relationship with him. That's what it is. We remain connected and united together. So let me explain a little bit about what that is. And then the rest of today, we're going to talk a little bit more about how do we abide. So when I say we have union with him and we are intimate with him, what do I mean exactly? What's happening technically? We use kind of some analogies there, abide in Christ and live with Jesus. What does that actually mean? Here's what it means. You have a spirit. Your spirit is not flesh, right? It's spiritual. God has the Holy Spirit. Okay? Now, your spirit and the Holy Spirit actually interact in the spiritual realm. How does that happen? What does that look like? I don't have a clue. I don't have eyes in the spiritual realm. I don't know. I just know that we do. And so when we are obedient and submissive and connected properly with the Holy Spirit, we are abiding in him. When our spirit embraces the Holy Spirit, we are abiding in Christ. There's a whole lot of things that come off of that that are a lot easier for us to understand. Here's one. When we're obedient to the Holy Spirit, when we do what he tells us to do, right? When we love him, you know how to love. You know how to love other people. You know how to love God. When we're doing that, we are abiding in Christ. So that's trying to make it simple. And if it wasn't, my apologies. But let's talk about, okay, what does it then look like then? How do we go about doing that? How do we get our spirit to connect with the Holy Spirit? There's going to be an overarching concept that is going to work with all of it. And then there's going to be three things that we do on a practical level that's going to allow us to connect with him. The overarching umbrella is this. It's faith. The act of faith allows us to connect with the Holy Spirit, right? You don't see your spirit. You don't see the Holy Spirit. You don't see where it is. You don't see with your eyes. You don't taste it, feel it, touch it. It's not physical. And so it has to start with this act of faith where you are trusting in what God has told you about what is really there, and what he is telling us is that the Spirit is there and he's interacting with us. And so it's an act of faith for us to then believe that it is there. Now, if we are to embrace the Holy Spirit, if we're to connect with him, there are three things that come into that. And I'm going to call them, where did I have that in my notes? Here it is. Acknowledge, intend, and embrace. So I'm going to walk you through those three things. If you can do these three things, this is how you actually do it. So acknowledge, right? Let's compare this to any relationship. You've got relationships with other people. Let's say you've got a love interest, or you've had a love interest before. You've got a spouse. There's certain things that need to be there, right? You need to acknowledge that they're there. You need to acknowledge that their presence whenever you're there with them. And if you want to connect with them, you have to intend to do that, right? You have to have some intentionality about connecting with them. And then there needs to be an actual embrace that happens, right? So if when I wanted to date Amy, right? When we got started. First thing is, I had to know she existed. And I had to get to know who she was, right? You can't go date somebody you don't even know exists. And then on top of that, I needed to know who she really was, right? It would be one thing if I thought she was something totally different, and that's the person that I wanted to date. No, I need to know the actual person, right? Well, it's one thing to say, okay, I know who that is. There's no date that comes off of that, right? That's not enough. You got to do a little bit more. There's got to be some intentionality for me to go and intentionally connect with her and say, hey, I want to date you. And then we have to actually go on the date. Similar things are there with us and God. So let's start with the first one. Acknowledge. In other words, truth. You have to know God truly. So where do we get that? John chapter 4, verse 24. You guys know this passage. God is spirit, and those who worship him must worship in spirit and truth. Here's what he's telling us. The way we worship God is by our spirits connecting with the Holy Spirit truly, properly, correctly. There's a lot of spiritual beings that are out there, and there's a lot of spiritual beings that are evil and wicked and trying to gain our affection and trying to gain our worship and trying to get us off of Christ. And so we need to know who Jesus is properly, correctly. If we don't, we are liable to be pulled away by another spirit that is wanting to pull us away. Here's practically how that looks, all right? So how many of you guys heard somebody say to you, God just wants me to be happy? You ever heard that? I had somebody tell me that, right? This person came to the conclusion that God just wanted them to be happy. Yes, but there's a lot of detail that you need to pay attention to make that statement accurate. Yes, God wants you to be happy in him, in relationship to him. He wants you to be happy because of him. When we get to heaven, when he makes all things right, yes, we will be happy. But guess what? Happiness right now means a whole lot of stuff. And there's a whole lot of sin that makes us feel happy that God does not want. Right? So if you are going after something and you think that that is who God is and it's not, you're going to end up in error. You're not connecting with the Spirit. You're not connecting with him. Another one that you've heard, all roads lead to God. I've heard that one, right? There's a mountain and there's a bunch of roads and all of them are going to end up at the same point at the top. And Jesus says, no, that's not true. Jesus said to them, I am the way and the truth and the life. No one comes to the Father but through me. So if you're not aligned with the truth, you're not able to properly connect with the Spirit. So that's step one. You need to understand who he is and know him truly, accurately, the way he has revealed himself to you. Now, it's one thing for us to know who God is. That's good. That's great. That's fantastic. But if you just know that and don't do anything off of that, that's like, yeah, I know who Amy is. I'm not going to get a date just because I know her. I got to put forth some effort here. I got to do some things to make that date happen, right? So you have to intend to actually connect with God. Union requires intentionality. You have to try to do it. So if you are ever with your family and you guys are having a meal together, what happens when the phone comes out? Somebody's phone comes out, they start looking at their phone. What's happening? Is there a connection happening? No, their connection is with the phone. There's not connection happening around the table. You have to set aside and be intentional with connecting with other people. I've told this story before, but I was dating a girl one time and the baseball game was on. And guess what I was doing? I was looking at the baseball game. Guess how she felt about that? Not good, because she wanted my attention. She wanted me to be intentional about connecting with her. You can't connect with another person, let alone God, if you're not intending to do it. It doesn't happen by osmosis. It doesn't happen by its own. You have to go and do that intentionally. And so, this is why Jesus would say in Matthew chapter 7, verse 7, ask and it will be given to you. Seek and you will find. Knock and it will be opened to you. There's an element to which you have to go and ask. You have to go and be intentional to connect with me. So if you want the job, you've got to apply. If you don't understand a question, you have to ask the teacher. If you want to marry somebody, you got to get down on one knee. If you want to connect with God, you have to go to him and try to do it. Now, this is going to be often a trial and error process, right? Because it's really, really hard to connect with God because we're fallen and we're broken. It's difficult. So you're going to try different things. Maybe you try reading your Bible in the morning, and the first day you're like, I didn't sense God at all. I don't know where he was, but I didn't get anything out of that, right? Or you try to pray and it's like, okay, I'm gonna pray for 5 minutes. And a minute and a half in, you're thinking about your job or your spouse or the problem that you're having. It's going to be a trial and error process. It's going to take a little while for you to get there. But again, this is where faith comes in and overrides all of it. As you are intending to connect with him, you have to believe that it's happening. And then third, the last thing here that we need to do is embrace. We actually have to embrace Christ spiritually. Your heart has to connect with him. Now, you actually know how to do this. You actually know how to do this from a early, early stage. Babies are born and they don't recognize the mother, right? They don't understand the connection. They don't know who this person is. They don't know anything. They just come out wanting food. And there's a connection with the mom because they can get the food. But pretty soon, with that, there's a bond that's connected. The baby connects with the mother, and that mother-child bond is so powerful. And so a baby, even from that stage, can spiritually connect with another human being. There's a spiritual connection that happens between the two. Not in the same category as what is happening to God, but we can relate with other people. So you have an innate ability for you to connect with other beings, especially God. Now, when you intend to go to God, it's one thing to say, all right, I'm going to go do a spiritual discipline. I'm going to read the Bible. It's another thing for you to actually love God in the process, for you to go and to embrace him. And to love him and to use your heart to connect with him. You've probably seen this at a lot of churches. A lot of churches, people come and they're there in the seats and they're just kind of there and they're ready to go. And they're kind of expecting things to come their way, right? You've seen a lot of people that are really reserved in church, and I'm not saying necessarily here, but you've been at places, you've been at some dead churches where it's like, man, people are just showing up and they're not really engaged. You can feel it, right? They're disconnected. Well, we don't want to come to God just expecting to give him kind of a side hug. You know what that feels like when you are trying to connect with somebody else and it's just like, I'm going to keep you at arm's distance and I'm just going to lightly connect with you. God's not looking for that. God's looking for us to totally embrace him. Have you ever seen a little kid get a new stuffed animal? What do they do to that stuffed animal? They engulf that thing, right? They embrace that thing. My daughter got one just recently, and she took that thing, and she was embracing it. That's what God wants us to do with him. He's made the door open. The access is totally there. We are in his presence, and he wants us to embrace him with all that we have. That's what abiding in Christ looks like. There's a really good quote from Jonathan Edwards, who's a pastor in the 1700s, and he said this: how can you expect to dwell with God forever if you so neglect and forsake him here? Right? So if we think about, I want to go to heaven, because there's God, and that's going to be great, but we neglect to be with him here, that there's such a disconnect between those two thoughts. So as Christians, as people that are so excited about heaven, because then we get to be with God, and then everything is right, and then et cetera, et cetera. Folks, we have God now. We have access to him now. We can abide with Christ now. And so our hearts ought to go and be drawn to him, and for us to thirst for him and to want to embrace him and want to be connected with him. There's lots of things that are coming when we get to heaven. There's lots of great things that are going to be there. But there's something that's going to be there that we have access to now. It's the ability to love God now, to embrace him, to abide with him, to give him that glory and to love him. And so because we want to connect with God in heaven, we ought to also want to connect with him. One final thought here. If you are already satisfied, you need not seek anything. If you're already satisfied with how things are going, you're satisfied with God, you're satisfied with this world and all that's there, you don't need to seek him at all. So are you satisfied or are you thirsty? There's another quote. Chris had a quote from Andrew Murray. He wrote a book. He wrote the book on abiding in Christ. It's literally called Abiding Christ. And here's another quote from him. It is only into the thirst of an empty soul that the streams of living waters flow. Ever thirsting is the secret of never thirsting. Such a great quote. Just incredible quote here. So if your soul feels satisfied, you're not going to go and try to embrace Christ. You're not going to go and try to be with him. You're not going to spend time with him. You're not going to embrace him. You're not going to abide with him. You feel satisfied. You feel satisfied with this world. You feel satisfied with all the trinkets that you have. But if your soul is thirsty, if your soul is longing for something, then you will go and seek it out. I was thirsty on that football field. I had run and run and run, and I was tired, and I was worn out, and I needed to quench my thirst. And so I would run to that water fountain. It's a hose coming out. It's a hose giving me public water, and I didn't care because I needed that. How much more so the living waters of Christ through the Holy Spirit that give everlasting life? How much more should we thirst for that? And so this is a good just place to start in your heart as you examine yourself and as you examine, am I abiding in Christ? How well am I doing? How can I do it better? Are you thirsty for him? Or do you feel like your soul is satisfied? And if you are thirsty, guess what happens? You can't wait to get more. Nothing is going to stop you from chasing after that thirst so that you can be quenched. Where we're going next in this sermon series, well, one, I want us to just have all of that as a base level. That's our foundation. We need to connect with the Holy Spirit. Our spirits need to connect. The ways that we do that is through faith. We have to acknowledge and have the true understanding of who he is, intend to connect with him, and then actually embrace him with our heart. And so where we're going next is, how do we do that? In the church. How do we abide in Christ in the church? The next week after that, we're going to talk about how do we abide in Christ? How do we experience God and live with him in the spiritual disciplines? Then we're going to go a little bit in even deeper detail on that and say, how do we use our mind to abide in Christ? And then how do we use our emotions, our heart to connect with Christ? How do we then use our lives and our actions to connect with Christ? So that's where we're headed. That's where we're going. And I'm excited because I'm thirsty for more of God. And I'm so thirsty to see all of you have that same thirst as well. As many of you already do, as many of you clearly are going to God and abiding in him and seeking him for everything. And so now with that, we're going to turn to communion. And so, amen, amen. Our God has promised that he is with us. He has not left us. And we get to walk with him daily. And so be thirsty for him and go to him to satisfy that thirst. Just a few announcements. We're going to have our congregational meeting in just a little bit. So for those of us who are members, please stick around. We're going to discuss some items and we're excited to have that. We'll have a vote on the budget coming up in 2 weeks. And love you guys. Have a wonderful week.